This is Speaking of Teens. I'm Ann Coleman. Thank you so much for being here. If you happen to be a new listener, this is not my usual podcast episode or format. This is an extra episode. I'm trying something new this week, and hopefully every week from now on. There are just so many times when I see a news story or I think of something random I'd like to tell you, and it's really not significant enough for a full podcast episode. So I've decided to add a little extra bonus episode. In addition to the usual Tuesday show, I'm going to drop another short episode towards the end of the week. I haven't decided which day exactly yet. We'll see how it works out. These little episodes will be less formal and a little looser. So today I have three things I want to talk to you about. First, I want to mention the fentanyl issue again. I did a full episode on the fentanyl crisis in America back in episode 21, and a few days ago, this issue really hit home. Just last week, a young man here in town died from fentanyl poisoning. He made the deadly mistake of purchasing a Xanax from someone he knew, and it turned out to be laced with fentanyl. The DEA says that's true of most any pill you buy on the street these days. This kid was just a normal small-town boy around my son's age, maybe 22, and they'd actually been friends while my son was living here with us in Alabama. He was full of personality and cute as a button. He'd been to my house many times. He'd hung out here with my son and a small group of friends for the better part of a year, and they actually stayed in touch even when my son left for Colorado. He wasn't a heavy drug user. I imagine he was like a lot of adolescents. He experimented. And I say adolescent because, remember, they're adolescents until they're at least in their mid-20s, when that prefrontal cortex is fully programmed. They're far from adults at 22. I'm telling you this because I don't want you to forget how extremely prevalent fentanyl is. It's more likely than not in whatever pill someone buys from a friend or on the street, and one tiny little speck can kill. So please, please, please talk to your kid. Do not ever think they're immune. No one ever believes their kid will do this, yet so many do. It's not a character flaw. It's not that they're ignorant. It's not that they're drug addicts. Their brain is telling them, this looks like fun. I'll bet that's fun. I want to try this. I know it can be dangerous, but it's worth the risk. They're not under the mistaken impression that they're invincible. That's a fallacy. They weigh the risk and the reward and decide to take the risk if the reward seems big enough. I just want you to please talk to your teen about this. Go back and listen to episode 21 about fentanyl, or even get them to listen to it with you. I explain how to talk to them in that episode. Okay, moving on to a quite different topic. Let's talk about sex. At some point, I may do a full episode on this because I think it's pretty fascinating. Studies and surveys have shown that the rates of teens having sex has been declining for decades. Specifically, the CDC in their 2021 survey found that just 30% of teens had ever had sex, and that was down from 38% in 2019, which was a huge drop from 30 years ago, which was at more than 50%. Of course, most experts say the pandemic is what affected this latest number. It's hard to have sex while you're socially distancing. And then in 2021, when kids were actually able to be around each other again, experts speculate that so many teens were still so anxious about getting COVID that they were still keeping their distance. So yes, teens are having less sexual intercourse, but that doesn't mean they're having less sex. Think Bill Clinton. What exactly does having sex mean? Well, that very much depends on who you ask. The Associated Press and various experts decided to ask teens around the country this very question just last week. First, to help set the stage, here's some new terminology these kids shared. There's the situationship, that's a short-term hookup. And I love that. I think that's a great term, situationship. Then there's the sneaky link. That's a hookup done in secret. They don't even tell their friends about it. These interviews with teens revealed one big problem with the way the CDC is wording this question. They say, have you ever had sexual intercourse? which one 18-year-old who identifies as queer says is a little laughable. Quote, there's probably a lot of teenagers who are like, no, I've never had sexual intercourse, but I've had other kinds of sex. And then another kid says, when asked to define sex, she says, that's a good question. She thinks about it for like 20 seconds before rattling off all kinds of different possibilities for heterosexual sex, oral sex, the same sex partners, etc., etc. Experts are saying that the CDC's report demonstrates how gender has become much more fluid for teens, and that currently there's a lot less stigma associated with not being heterosexual. As a matter of fact, in their 2021 report, 75% of kids identified as heterosexual, while in 2015, it was 89%. And those identifying as lesbian, gay, or bisexual was up from 8% to 15%. Something else that a college kid mentioned in this report somewhere was that some students she knew are still being tracked by their parents with apps at college. And just so you know, this is beyond helicoptering and could quite possibly explain the lack of intercourse between 18-year-olds, at least, the ones that are off at college. I'm not saying that's good or bad, that they're not having sex, but tracking college kids, clearly that is bad. Another thing this same college kid brought up was that so many kids don't get their driver's license these days. And you know what happens in the back seats of cars? No license, no car, perhaps no sex. Then there's the expert that points out that everyone has porn in their pocket, so who needs someone else for sex? Just remember to bring these issues up, sprinkle them in through conversation, and see how your kid defines sex and what's going on at their school and with their friends. Speaking of sex, I guess, if you're a woman of a certain age, this message is for you. The FDA just approved a new drug for hot flashes and night sweats that is non-hormonal. Woohoo! This is a big deal. If you've not gotten there yet, let me tell you, it is no fun. I froze my husband to death for several years. I would go around opening all the doors in the winter, turning the air conditioner on, threatening to kill anyone that turned the heat on. And if I so much as heard it kick on at night, I would instantly break out in a sweat. They say this drug is going to be a game changer for women who don't want to take the hormone replacement therapy, that was me, or who've been treated for hormone-sensitive cancers. Apparently, it's not quite as effective as hormone replacement. In the trials, it was 48% effective at a high dose and 36% at a lower dose. But that's certainly better than 0% taking nothing. Anyway, the name of the drug is Veozah, V-E-O-Z-A-H. They're really running out of drug names. Pretty soon they're going to sound like lipstick or nail polish colors. But it looks like it may not be covered by insurance. It was hard to say in this one article that I read. And I did read that it's $550 for a one-month supply. So ask your insurance company if they cover it. For the record, menopause can last for several years, up to a decade. So that $550 a month might look pretty reasonable when you start waking up in the middle of the night in a pool of your own sweat. So much fun. But just so you know, it's actually doable with no medication whatsoever. I did it. And a funny side note, I remember when I was younger, I would say maybe 10, 12, my mother would have been around 40s, early 40s or younger, and she would get all frustrated and upset about something, and then she'd say, I think I'm going through the change. And I swear, I can still remember thinking, good God, what in the hell is she changing into? It'd have to be better than this. Why women have to go through menopause at the same time that they have tweens and teens. I mean, it is so unfair. Anyway, that's all I have today. Thank you for listening. I hope to make this a weekly thing, so be sure to follow in your app so you won't miss anything. And as always, if there's a topic you'd like me to take a deep dive into and report back on the podcast, please let me know at acoleman@neuroagility.com. I love hearing from you. Okay, I'll be back on Tuesday. Be sure and hug your teenager today.